Okay, so what following last meeting with related to metadata, what identified were two areas of ontologies, I guess two kinds of clusters of ontologies that we could use as in two roles, one to populate the sandbox with, and the other as a way of investigating what is the kind of how adequate is OMB for kind of capturing the metadata that we need for OR for these ontologies, but also to focus in particular on understanding the relationships between ontologies, because this is something that I guess a lot of other you know, groups might call the mappings between the ontologies. And so we want to kind of explore in the context of some actual ontologies in some kind of domain that's being used in practice outside of biology as a way of explaining what, whether or not what tools we have already now, say from OMB, are adequate. And so we identified two areas. One was for time, and I'm just going to cut and paste two of Mike's notes. From last time. So last time he had just mentioned besides the work in W3C time, so Apple time ontology. There's work going on right now in OMG with dates and times. There was work he had mentioned at the May clinic, but I didn't get any more information from him on that. There's FPML derived time terms. There's the work that he's been doing in his group. There's also, they say, the catalog of temporal theories. That's something that we already have in Calora. Right? We have all of those on there. And we have several papers that are appearing in conferences later on this year, one at the conference called Time, and another one at a workshop in modular ontologies. So that's kind of related to time. The other area that we identified was the geospatial. And so I'm pasting from Mike. So I was hoping he would be here today. This is another snippet from last meeting. And so, you know, the geo names, ISO 3166, and et cetera. And so these are two areas I thought that would be quite useful. I guess they can play multiple roles, you know, both in terms of understanding what you, you know, look at these ontologies, where are their axioms, how are their axioms written, can we actually put them into our current sandbox, what are the challenges there, but then does it affect what we'd be doing as we try to understand what their different relationships are. So, so given that Mike is not online, but here he is, perhaps we could maybe focus at least for part of this meeting, start with the geospatial ontologies, and then if time allows, we can go to the time ontologies or perhaps table that for another session when Bennett can participate. So Gary, could you maybe just give, I guess, a little bit of an overview for people within this group here that kind of updating the kind of work that you're doing, and perhaps what you might also like to see coming out of the OOR?
Sure, I'll be glad to do a little bit. And Mike, of course, is also part of SOCOP, as well as OOR, so he might be able to add something. So we have been actually looking at this for a while, and there have been some summary reports. I can sort of later on, I don't have it handy right now, but there are some summary reports that sort of looked over various geospatial standards and which ones had been ontologized. That's done a couple of years ago. So I can provide a list of the ontologies that they looked at there, some of the ISO standards and so forth. There's also sort of a, in our, at least in our preliminary work, in my mind, there's a distinction between purely geospatial low-level things, which are talking about geo features and geometries, very fundamental, and things on top of that that are more related to geosciences, higher-level geography, so forth, maps and things of that nature. The USGS is starting an effort to ontologize some of their map levels. So that will be an ongoing thing. So there are things like hydrology. Now, that's one of the areas where people have built little, at least toy ontologies for things like hydrology and hydrology levels. One ontology that people might not have run across that represents earth sciences is something called SWEET by NASA. Are people familiar with that one?
Yep.
It's SWEET, thought of it, semantic web for earth, earth, the terrestrial, and so forth. And it basically divides things into realms because they're interested in not only the earth realm, but the space realm, the atmospheric realm. They divide things in that way. And they go all the way down to some geographic things. And they have about, somewhere between 20 and 30 different modules that have been organized. And so that's an ontology for people to look at. Another thing that we are looking at more recently is land cover. There are large land cover databases, and there are classification systems. There are some standards in that area, obviously, and people like the Food and Agricultural Organization of the UN has been interested in land cover for agricultural purposes. Some of this database work is organized and classified by algorithms that that people have developed. But they're not very good classification systems that people have realized over time. And so there's some current work to try to build ontologies that will allow mapping between different classification systems that have evolved over time from different algorithms. So those are some of the, there's one other thing I guess I would mention. We're having a what's called a VoCamp, vocabulary camp, in D.C. in early June, June 3rd and 4th, next Friday and Saturday. And in addition to this topic of land cover, we're also going to be discussing the topic of land forms. Now, this is something that people at Buffalo, for example, Dave Mark has been interested in all a long time, that when people have data sets on things, they will identify various land forms like mountains and other features, but they're very inconsistent about doing that. So one of the things that we are probably going to be discussing at this meeting is ontologies that can sort of, for better ontologies for landforms and ways of bridging between existing ones. Mike, do you have anything to add to that?
No, that was a good overview. So there was the one thing you mentioned before, the ontologies that support mappings between older data sets?
Yes, the land cover data sets, right. That's it's work out of, I think, Boston University, and Ola Alquist is one of our members at Ohio State. And he's been asked to sort of, he has worked over time. He used to be at Penn State, and Penn State is very active in some of these things. He's been asked to try to come up with some ontologies that will be bridging between the various classifications. That's still fairly early, although he's got some things, and that will be discussed next week. So I'll have a lot more to say later in June and July about that work. But that's very much part of what the SOCOP and our NSF grant, Interop grant, will be interested in.
Excuse me. Michael, I guess Gary was trying to refer to Mike Dean. So we keep on running into the multiple Michael syndrome.
So
whenever anybody calls out Mike, please include the last name.
Well, whenever you call out Mike, you're always going to get a good response anyway.
I think Gary covered it well. I actually just posted the link in the chat board for the VoCamp that we're having in D.C. Next week that Gary mentioned. And one of the geospatial, I'm just about to add the link for one of the geospatial trade studies that we did that enumerates some of the, a number of the ontologies in the space. And, we're interested in particularly doing some mappings between them as part of the NSF project. And I think the current plan is to use the Snoggle tool which produces swirl mappings, represents mappings using swirl.
May I ask a question about VoCamp? I have never been to one. What do the work products, where do the work products from boot camps end up in?
There generally will be links at least off of vocamp.org. The one next week and several of the previous ones have used Noodle as a collaborative ontology development tool. So some of the results are actually hosted on Noodle. And that's one of the tools that we're interested I'm interested anyway in having some federation between what I call heterogeneous federation between OOR and Noodle.
So if we look at those results as ontologies, I mean I know that needs to be put between quotes, then would Noodle become the sort of ontology repository for those vocamp work products then?
Well, I don't think you actually need to put it in quotes. I mean, Noodle is basically a...
I know Noodle, but more in terms of vocamp results.
I think even in terms of the vocamp, I mean, I think different groups have kind of used different levels of features. In kind of 2 days, you're probably not going to get a finished ontology product. So I think some of the vocamps have kind of, taken the work products and continue to evolve them, as a group. In other cases, it's more of kind of a training exercise for the people that are involved. The products, certainly should continue to be available. And, you could think of Noodle, I think, as the repository for the work products of those vocamps.
If that is the case, you're going to be there, Mike, or will you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gary. So maybe somewhere soon or down the road, would be great if we could see some coordination or collaboration between ourselves and the Noodle people.
Yeah. Can I add a little bit to what Mike said? I invited the Noodle people in for this session, not only because they had been part of the first GO VoCamp that Todd Pele had organized after the Semantic Web Conference in D.C. a couple of years ago. I wasn't able to attend that one. I think Mike did attend that one. But the Noodle was there, and they did a little bit. You set up a sort of an online community in Noodle. I just had the link to the one I set up for this upcoming one. And then you can, as you do your work, you can, and the ontology work here has been essentially light ontologies. That's part of the philosophy of the VoCamp. I invited them in partly because they had been there before, but also because the OOR was being taken down. And we hadn't yet gotten to the point where it created a sort of a geo-oriented OOR for as part of Interop. So I wanted to be sure to have a tool, and at the Light School, I thought it would be good to test this out with geoscientists and so forth to see if they felt more productive with a Light tool starting with. So very much the idea behind it, in my mind at least, was very much sort of filling a gap now, but moving towards the OOR work in the future in an organized fashion. But the other thing I wanted to say is that there's the previous VoCamp, the immediately previous VoCamp late April or early May, was in Southampton, UK, and was partly organized by the Ordnance Survey, which was the analog for USGS there in England. And you can go to the VoCamp site, either from the links that Mike Dean provided you, you'll see a main page where you can look at past VoCamps. And if you go to the Southampton one, you can look at their product. So these were done by people who were very much into the RDFS world of linked open data, which is a large part of this community, if not all, most of the community. And you can look at the ontology they developed for a few things. They were interested in sort of like aggregation and different levels, and they created a modest ontology in the linked open data set. Data world you can look at the various things they created. The wiki essentially captures pictures of the ontologies and the RDF's specifications for them. Okay?
I'm looking at
them
now.
Products. The one thing I would add to this is that we did this in because we're getting organized for more serious and non-lightweight ontologies. And this is a way of bringing part of the community together. We're getting our methodologies in place and so forth. So the work that we accomplish here is expected to continue and get heavier or produce more quality ontologies as we go forward and have better tools, better methods, and larger community.
So, Mike, before you were mentioning using the swirl rules for the mappings, could you elaborate that in a little bit more? So what are you mapping kind of ontologies to each other with, the swirl rules?
Yes.
And which ontologies were you referring to, and like the ones that Gary's talking about?
We've done some simple examples, from the some of the ontologies I mentioned in the trade study, things including Sweet. We'd like to do more with that. We actually use swirl for most of our ontology mappings. That allows more expressive relationships than just subclass, so you can actually do computational unit conversion and things like that as well.
So if we put this maybe in the context of OOR, say Sweet's the most mature set of ontologies. If we're talking, about what's the metadata that we need to describe ontologies in OOR, and the metadata that we'd want to have to kind of understand how ontologies are related to each other, different kinds of relationships. There's no real big barrier here, right? I mean, it's just a matter of getting uploading Sweet into the sandbox, in terms of OOR, would we represent some of these ideas instead of using metadata using swirl?
I think of the mapping document as being separately managed things in OOR itself. I think we talked about this going back to Ontology Summit 2008. It's not unlikely that the set of mapping rules between two ontologies will be developed by a third organization other than the developer of either of those two ontologies themselves. And they obviously could be quite voluminous artifacts in and of themselves. So I think there's in some cases, you may be able to do the mappings, just using OWL. Certainly, you could do mappings using Common Logic as well. I think of that as being potentially some additional requirements for language support for things like swirl or RIF to express mappings.
Right.
But I don't see kind of fundamental things that would need to be added to the metadata, for either the ontologies or the mapping rules.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Michael, can I divert a little bit?
Sure.
Since
yeah.
Gary mentioned that, it's unfortunate that we weren't coordinated with you on this and didn't realize the OR sandbox has to be down so much. You said you are going to be doing this on the second and the third, or the third and the fourth?
It's the third and the fourth. It's actually a week from today.
Okay.
And Saturday.
Yeah, and what I'm hoping is, since we have got Ken here, do you think we could bring the sandbox back up enough time to allow you to upload, re-upload some of the related ontologies like Sweet and so on, or if that couldn't happen soon enough, whether we could at least restore the old sandbox image for...
Let me give you my thought, and Mike Dean can comment on it also. I had only played around with the OOR some time ago, in the simplest possible way, just to familiarize myself. I had never populated it with any serious fashion. And indeed, even Noodle now, if you go to the site that the community I set up, is not seriously populated. These are more demonstrations for the discussion purposes and getting going, is the output of the workshops that will produce the serious stuff and in between. So I wouldn't rush myself. I wouldn't rush to have this because we don't have time to load it and work through it yet. I would look forward to the summer for a period of maturing our work and using the OR in a more serious fashion.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike Dean has a comment
on that. The reason why...
I had loaded about, maybe as many as a dozen of geospatial ontologies into the sandbox earlier. And, if there is a possibility of kind of getting the new version, up, I'd certainly be happy to, spend the time and reload those. I recorded the metadata and stuff that we loaded with them. So,
would 2 days be enough? Mike?
I think so, yeah. I'm traveling all of next week, but I think we can get it reloaded and at least have it available to point at. So, I think the last time I looked, I was actually quite surprised, but, the suite, I think, is up to like 200 modules now. So we'd only loaded, a couple of the most relevant ones there.
Since the whole thing is a VM, I mean, we could sort of just pop back the VM image of the old sandbox relatively easily if the new install couldn't finish by then. So since Ken is here, what is your thoughts? Let's say on bringing up the new one by Monday or something, the new install by Monday, or popping back the old image on Tuesday at least and let it stand there for a week.
Well, we've brought up the new image, the new code already. All that's left is to get all the configuration information set up.
It's not available online, though. I'm pointing my browser at it.
No, it's not running. What I'm saying is we have brought it up, and then we brought it back down again to get the configuration. So it's relatively minor details we have to work on.
Okay, So could, but also another factor is because you guys have invited the NSF people to VoCamp, and I assume if they show up or if Mimi McClure shows up, then at least you run down some of the work that's ongoing. I really hate to see that when you get to the part of the ontology repository, the only thing you can say is, excuse us, the server is down.
Yeah, my preference would be to try to move forward with a new one if that isn't available at that point, then rolling back to the old one would be fine. And I'd be happy to, spend some time Thursday, reloading things, if that makes sense. Yeah, I agree. It would be good to be able to at least point to things there and use that for some of the examples as well.
Right. I will be personally traveling on Thursday, starting Thursday. So you think between Ken and Mike Dean, the two of you could coordinate and do it one way or the other, so that by the third, Gary and company, I mean the SOCOP, will be able to access an OOR sandbox with at least some of the geospatial related ontologies on them.
Yeah, perhaps the one that Gary has on his Knoodle list there.
Is this a Knoodle list?
It should be possible to bring this up. I mean, like I say, it's
okay.
I sent to a link to the Knoodle community, SOCOP-interop, where I had put a few of the 100 or more suite modules. As examples, they include things that show hydrological features and some of the spatial things that Suite gets at. These are more, as I said, these are more illustrative because we're going to be working and building using some of the ontologies from the researchers at the Ohio State University, Penn State, and so forth, upbringing some of the ontologies. We'll be working with them and be producing new ontologies in the session. We're adapting their ontologies, which are not currently in the noodle that you see.
Right. But see, so maybe, like, if we just, like, minimal functionality here would be to have in the sandbox those suite modules that you placed on Noodle. And then to be able to, I mean, would it be possible for people to kind of add the meeting, you know, if you said people are going to be bringing ontologies, you're going to be looking at them, would they be able to upload them into the sandbox?
I intend to do that. In other words, I don't know that I'm going to burden anybody else, but I will take it on myself. It may not happen in this session, depending on how busy we are. My intent was to know R as it is available, because that's more of our area than Noodle. So that will happen, but I can't tell you when that will happen. It depends on a number of things.
Right. But so, Ken, how hard would it be for people kind of not really, you know, not up on the OOR? How hard would it be for them to upload ontologies to the sandbox at the meeting?
It should be possible to upload.
Yeah.
And download. I mean, that's not a big deal. The functionality that is missing right now is, you know, like advanced search. All we have is kind of an elementary search.
Can I make one distinction? At the session, the workshop, we not only need a repository to store things or to start with, we need something like the Protégé tool to edit the ontologies, the work that's being done.
Right.
Noodle allows us to do that. So in other words, as a light tool, rather than, we don't have time to train people on Protégé and so forth, things of that nature. We don't know the tool skills people come with. Some of them are geoscientists. They don't necessarily know anything about the tools. So we're looking at a light tool to sort of advance the work in editing ontologies and building certain things. Now, once that is done, of course, they can go into the repository, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. But it would be interesting and nice to be able to have, you know, at least say the kind of the outcomes of the work people are doing there, to actually put them into the OOR. Kind of gives it a sense of reality for people. And it would be kind of a nice way to kind of start this process. I mean, it's not like we have to have all of this done by the meeting, and that's not realistic. But if we can at least start the process, you know.
It seems possible to me. It's going to depend on the schedule. Mike's going to be there. I'm going to be there. In the past, it's been a relatively easy process to do that, to load those, and I think we'll try that.
Yeah, that sounds good to me as well. I mean, I think Noodle is good for the dynamic editing, but getting the allowing people to browse the things in the repository and also putting the final artifacts there makes sense.
And for, not for your vocamp, but for Gary, I relate a post about Web Protégé, the latest beta that they have released on Ontolog Forum a few days ago, and the new sort of the latest implementation is now integrated with BioPortal, which means by the time we get the new install in place, there will be sort of editing capability that could be accessed through Web Protégé into BioPortal as well. So
that sounds very exciting, and of course the NSF work is to explore about such tools and to make them available to a larger community. It's just that we need to sort of have some opportunity to work with them ahead of time so that we're not doing that while we're engaging people like the geoscientists, geographers, and so forth, and taking up their time with it. So we need to sort of get on the learning curve and know what productivity we can get out of that combination before we use it.
Right. That's why I said it's not for next week, but for yourself, you might explore that. You probably already know about it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is not to place, you know, burdens on people, but just as a way of, say, if it's straightforward to simply upload the results, the outcomes of a particular session, you know, just look at it that way, you know, instead of putting it on Noodle, the outcomes on Noodle. I realize, I want to keep the editing separate, but if the outcomes go into the OR, then that kind of serves as a nice way to, kind of instantiate a lot of the different functionality we're talking about within OR, at least to get things moving.
Yeah, that does sound simple enough, and, you know, based on loading other things in the past at OR a couple of months ago, it's simple enough, and Mike's going to be there, so I feel really, reasonably optimistic about that. I just don't know exactly how busy we'll be with wrapping things up and so forth at endpoints, you know, when things are done, so we'll just have to see exactly when it happens. It'd be very nice, particularly if the NSF people are there, to sort of be able to say that and show that.
Do you know if NSF is going to show up yet?
I no new word about that. I'm going to leave that entirely that to Nancy to contact. I don't deal with those people directly at this point, and I haven't met them yet. Amimi, for example, but I'd only give it a 50-50 chance based on little things that have been said. I mean, we haven't had in contact with them. We don't know their schedule, and we'll see.
Yeah, one other thing, though, is for newly loaded ontologies, the BioPortal takes some time to process them, we all remember.
I've seen that. I've usually waited overnight, usually, for things to show back up.
Right. So Mike is probably aware, and there have been times when it took way too long, or things don't quite process properly and needs to be tweaked and so on. So that could be a bottleneck as well.
Right. So did I misunderstand earlier? Was all of the suite ontologies in the sandbox at one point?
Yes,
that is all. No, that is my point. I didn't think all of them were there.
Okay.
I believe it were. It was. If Mike didn't upload it, I think what's his name? Pat Cassidy uploaded that because he was doing it for the units of measure, and he uploaded like the entire suite, and then uploaded the psi unit in particular for the units of measure exercise.
Okay, the way they have it is they have sort of it imports. Basically, you have a master one that sort of imports, and then they it's a chain of imports. I think the way they got this thing assembled on the site I saw anyway.
So I wasn't sure. Did Mike you upload suites or?
I uploaded a couple of the suite modules, but like I said, I think the current suite is 200 modules, so I'm quite confident it wasn't all loaded.
Okay.
Yeah. Suite 2.2 says 6,000 concepts and 200 ontologies.
Then.
It's grown a lot since we looked at for the ontology trade study a couple of years ago.
Then it's not there. For sure.
Okay.
But that in itself would actually be kind of a good test. And it also kind of, you know, one of the things unfortunately the BioPortal does is doesn't really have ways of handling essentially multi-file ontologies explicitly. So you more or less have to load them as independent ontologies and kind of relate them together. So, you know, that's one thing that has, you know, come up a number of times, so it would be nice to have some more tight support for ontologies that are composed of multiple all files.
Yeah, well, since this is the community, I'll mention one or two other things about that would be nice. We didn't really have a topic area for geospatial in the earlier OOR sandbox. There was a list of topics. I didn't know how to create a topic, so I could say everything I'm putting in here, no matter what the name is all about geospatial things of interest. There was that. And then because of that problem, if you just loaded the modules, they had, alphabetically, they appeared all over the place. So it was very hard to sort of understand where to go to find particular things because they weren't in a
specific category and relate it to the master saying, oh, I'm part.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Dean has reflected that requirement, and it's on the to-do list that Ken and company is working on.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, the intention is for it to be divided into communities.
Now, I could have artificially done this by preceding every module with the word suite, but, you know, and then have their name. But I wanted to keep the module name that they had, which was more by topic, like some of them are realm. A whole bunch of different realms, like hydro realm and geo realm, so forth.
Yeah, I think having much more control over categories makes sense. That seems to be something that's a little harder to do in BioPortal than one would hope. But I think that's an area where hopefully we can, you know, get something in quickly so that we can address the immediate need and then provide a more general mechanism in the future.
What categories would you suggest?
Yeah, there's an email on it. It's also on the list of to-dos. Bring up the new install. It's on that list if we go back on the minutes.
Well, what about the capability of a user being able to establish a category himself, a topic, saying, hey, you know, there's things I want to put together, so I'm going to call it by this topic. So it keeps their work together.
Yeah, that's a use case.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone start typing it into the chat? Just to document these things, please.
But it's already a use case.
Well, maybe just a remind us for the future, or a future pointer. Have we exhausted this particular thread of conversation?
I
wanted to raise another point.
Yeah, we've exhausted the diversion.
Oh, no, it's fine. I mean, that's the point. That's why this is, I think we call these workshops, is because you never know what's going to happen. So I actually had another question, say, about the GeoVo camp. So is it the case that the participants who are coming to the meeting kind of already have, I think, Gary, you mentioned too, like, you know, these USGS toy ontologies. So is it the case that a lot of these people kind of already have experience with ontologies and are kind of using at least toy ontologies in their practice?
Well, of course, some people are moving into the linked open data world in RDFS, right?
Uh-huh.
There. And then, you know, the best practice for doing some of that is to have these organizing schemas, which are more ontological, to essentially organize the various triples that they have. I would guess that almost all of them, all the people understand something about linked open data. They may not all have worked with ontologies. The geoscientists that are coming to this particular meeting, now this won't be true in the future, but the people who are coming to this particular one all have tried to use ontologies in the geospatial realm. So they've either discussed the issues of taxonomies and classifications and their problems from an ontological point of view, or they've tried to build up better ontologies for the areas. So one of the people coming is at Ohio University, Guav Singha. He's a student of Dave Mark from Buffalo, and he's been working on landforms. And, you know, what he's done is analytical and reviewing the various ontologies and other classification approaches to things like mountains and rivers and so forth, landforms. And he hasn't necessarily built a succinct ontology to solve the issues that he's uncovered, but he has some work illustrating how to move in a better direction for some of those things. So that's a long answer to say people have more or less an understanding about the role of ontologies and how they can improve on the work that's being done. They may not have specific ontologies developed to solve those problems yet.
Mm. Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, there's a kind of a group of people that we really want to reach out to so we can start making the repositories more grassroots. And it's that group of people that are actually, you know, kind of using or even building their own ontologies. Like you said, that, you know, I get the phrase getting used is, you know, the USGS toy ontologies for domains such as hydrology, right? They kind of reach out to those people and have them, you know, put what they're doing, what they're using, you know, into OOR.
Yeah.
So, you know, rather than just kind of, let's see what we're doing today, like, and we're kind of starting out and what we did the last meeting, you know, when Mike was, Mike Bennett was, you know, had some of these ideas is, you know, right now we're just kind of collecting different efforts and names together, and it's really just a, you know, we'll have a page that has a bunch of links to it. But the idea is eventually to, you know, to reach out to those, the people who are in those efforts, who are working with ontologies, to get them to contribute directly.
I think we can help with that. I just wanted to clarify, I may have misspoken slightly on this. USGS, now we have two people, Dahlia Varanker is one of the people, and she has a summer intern coming with there may be other people from USGS coming. What their thrust is, I mean, they know they want to ontologize, but their thrust is the triple pi, because they have lots of back data, right? And they have different layers. And they're triplifying, essentially, their layers. Other people have taken their layers and built small ontologies to illustrate what they would be like. USGS so much hasn't done that. They've moved in the RDF direction. But other people have taken and made models of the hydrology level, as an example. And some of those people are in the organization called OGC, which is also moving in this direction. And there will be one or two members of OGC there. That's an organization to really get plugged into and coordinate. There's a guy named Josh Lieberman who is our contact over on that side, one of our major contacts who has led a W3C effort to sort of work in this area. So I think we have some good connections and for the type of thing you're talking about where people are moving in this direction and trying to build ontologies and looking to have some guidance on the best way to do that.
Right. Julia Sparkle is also coming out of OGC, so that's another, so you can connect there.
Yeah, I didn't mention Julia Sparkle, but that's an important element and will be discussed at the workshop. Mm-hmm. Although they
You're going to be using the repositories, this way of collecting all the things that people are doing as they're doing them, as opposed to kind of after the fact. That would be quite interesting.
Yeah, I did contact Dave Colmes, Mike Dean's compatriot, about loading the GeoSparkle ontology, sort of on features, spatial features and geometries, into Moodle, of course we can do it in the OOR, before the meeting. And he said it's not yet ready for official release, so we can't do that. But we are going to have some people who have looked at the standard and have built their own version of it informally, and that will be available soon. But somebody thinks when you're dealing with standards organizations, you know, they're very reluctant to put things out there for other people to look at until it's absolutely gone through the entire process, right? So it's very slow.
Okay. Yeah, just looking at OGC here. Okay, it looks really interesting.
Yeah, I think that will connect you to and us to people who are trying to do some of these things. And again, we have a couple of contact points in there that are people that are knowledgeable about what OGC standards are and knowledgeable about ontological work so that we can have a good conversation.
Mike, you might remember when we were doing Ontology Summit for Ontology-Based Standards 2010. Josh Lieberman actually was at the NIST face-to-face and presented.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another person, Luis Bermudez, who took some of the USGS levels and ontologized them as examples. you guys worked for OGC, and he's been part of this MMI, which you all know about, right? Marine
Metadata.
You can talk about MMI probably, right?
Marine Metadata, yes. Luis actually was at the OOR Summit, the Ontology Summit 2008.
Okay, yeah, so I know Josh had been, because we asked him to present for SOCOP as our link. I don't remember Luis, but in the way, he's worked on some of these things, including ontological mediators to mediate between different data to transform them. So he's a good resource. It's a little bit harder to get than Josh sometimes, but another person that I think will contribute to this effort over time.
Right, and he's got a lot of hands-on experience, particularly because MMI actually implemented BioPortal.
Right.
So it goes full circle here. You guys do remember...
More recently, have they been involved in some of these discussions?
I beg your pardon?
Has the MMI folks been involved in some of the OOR discussions here? More recently?
Not particularly.
Yes, they have been.
Go ahead.
Have,
yeah.
But not recently.
Yeah, because I don't know about MMI because Graybill, what's his first name?
Right.
Graybill is now in San Diego, and Luis Bermudez is with OGC, so I don't really know the status of MMI, but the work is going on for sure, because both Luis Bermudez and I are involved in the Data One, in Data Integration and Semantics Working Group, so we just met not too long ago at Stanford, and we'll be meeting again in Santa Barbara in July. So he's definitely someone we want to sort of loop in. And they have been tracking this work and they are Luis Bermudez are on the OOR forum list. I don't know if he's on OOR Dev, but yes.
Okay. Sounds like we have a lot to a lot of action items related to the geospatial angle. Just in the few minutes we have left, just wanted to kind of pursue a little bit of the time idea. Because this was also a little, this is interesting from a different perspective. So, because everyone's kind of, there's two main kind of sets of ontologies, that kind of exist. I mean, there's owl time. And there's the different common logic, the catalog of temporal theories in common logic. And I guess to some extent, the OMG work on date and time, that's still in progress, I believe. I don't think they have any ontologies as out as products yet. Do they? Anyone aware of that?
No.
So in the time arena, we kind of have a bit of a dichotomy, and we have some quite mature ontologies on the one hand, and then we have a kind of a wide array of various efforts, standards efforts and whatnot, that it's not clear exactly what the actual ontologies are. What would, be something that could be uploaded into the OOR. So I guess that's kind of a bit of an action item there. So maybe I'll contact work with Mike Bennett a little bit to kind of identify what those specific efforts are and what ontological content they have and how that ontological content is represented.
Michael, I think at one point I loaded owl time into the sandbox.
Right.
The other comment is that owl time is actually sort of a more limited representation of a first order logic representation from Jerry Hobbs.
That's right.
Which I think was probably done in KIF. So I think probably the full, I think some of the L-time documents actually refer to the FOL representation. So
that's right, yeah. So there's a close relationship between, say, the catalog of temporal theories, those ones that are written in common logic, and L-time. And so, yeah, I didn't mean to kind of make those, really distinct. When I was kind of saying there's two, sorts of sets here. I mean, one is, like, say, the mature ontologies, like L-time and the various common logic time theories,
mm-hmm.
which are very closely related. But that's, on the other hand, it'd be, that's kind of one of our overall, one of our use cases is how to integrate ontologies written in multiple languages together. That's kind of the one on the one side. So those are the mature ones. But it was on the other side, right? Say the work that's coming out of that OMG dates and time work and the other ones that Mike Bennett mentioned in the chat session at the last meeting. It's not clear what those what ontological content is in those efforts.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's more kind of identifying what these other efforts are. Because I agree. I did remember seeing L time in the OOR. Getting the other ones in, that's our common logic use case.
Right. Good. And actually, that should be a nice and hopefully fairly straightforward, mapping between those two.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess that kind of covers our agenda today. I think it's been pretty productive. Do people have any other comments? Okay, so Peter, what's our next meeting?
So the next week is a regular OOR team meeting, and Leo will be chairing that. I will be traveling. I will try to set up the session page before I leave town, but chances are, unless one of you guys want to do it, there will be no audio recording. And then after that, I'll be away for another week. So the following Friday, I suggest we take a break. Since I think that the workshops should best be recorded because there's so much goes on those. And then after that, that would be the 17th. So no meeting on the 10th. That's my suggestion, but it stays a suggestion for now. 17th, we don't have a plan yet. Michael says Michael Gruninger is not going to be available. I don't know if Ken and Todd still want to do the architecture and API on that. And then the week following that would be the 24th. That is the date that Michael is now trying to work on getting the ISO,
19763.
Yeah, 19763 people to come join us for sort of a two-day thing, a Thursday on an overview of that ISO specification standard, and a Friday on how that relates to the OOR work. So that's the plan. So,
okay.
Have you heard back from Elisa or Evan Wallace or?
Actually, I made a mistake. I noticed I hadn't CC'd Evan, so I'll do that again.
All right.
My mistake.
Oh. So as soon as you, so far I've blocked out those two dates as being tentative. So,
okay.
But the two days. Same, the Thursday, Friday following that week, and the ones following that week are all available. So you might want to ask them if 23rd, 24th doesn't work for them, whether 30th or the 1st or even the 7th or the 8th might work. Of course,
okay.
for yourself too.
Yeah.
So Is everyone okay with not doing anything on the 10th? Any objection? No. Then Ken and Todd, would you want to do architecture and API on the 17th?
Sure, why not? Everything's going to change.
Okay. We'll miss Michael on that day.
That's 17 June, correct, Peter?
I beg your pardon?
That's 17 June, correct?
June, yes. June 17.
Of June?
June, yes.
Okay.
And, so I guess let's plan that much for now.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Thank you especially, Gary, for starting off a really fruitful discussion and some action items. And talk to everyone next week. And good luck with the Geo Volcan.
Thank you.
Oh.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.